kind of government you have is something that Jews are always very sensitive to, given our history. But since the advent of Israel, this has been multiplied many times, because you're not only dealing with political philosophy, you're dealing with the realities of budgets and arms and so forth. So, of course, this underlies a lot of Jewish giving, but Galbraith said, I think there's a lot more to it than that. He said, there are lots of other people who have interests in politics and interests in giving. He says, but I think that the reason that Jews give so generously is because of their great confidence in replacing it.
It's funny, but
I think there's a lot of truth in it, too. These people who are involved just feel that they can go out and do it again.
Isn't there such a strong, strong Jewish lobby, as I saw on television last week? A young Jewish man saying, we have lots of friends. We can do what we want to do.
That's the worst thing you can do.
I winced. I said to my husband, "That is the most
That was Tom Dine, and I don't think he meant to come out that way.
He said it over
Tom
and over.
Tom Dine said, he said, "Well, we know the people that call, you know."
He repeated it.
But I don't think he should have put it in that light. But Tom Dine has a hard struggle because he's facing a Congress in which he's discredited because he is repeating the Begin line. And they don't believe it. They don't believe it because they're continually breaking their word or certainly violating the spirit of Camp David. So perhaps some of us who don't follow the Begin line and as Jews are ready to criticize it, we may someday come to the Congress with President.
So well organized in your thinking that we don't really, some things we ask people, we don't really have to ask them of you.
Well, I tend to think of my life chronologically.
Yes, you do.
I can remember where I was every year and what was happening every year and where we were generally. But, you know, I've found that history is just nothing but yesterday's news. I was an avid newspaper reader since I was able to read at the age of 6. I can remember a lot of things that were happening then.
You know, your thinking is highly organized. It was wonderful for us.
Do you want to give us any comment on your feeling about the economy?
Well, we have people who are the rankest amateurs in there now. People who whose actions are dictated by their ideologues. You know, these people who have been criticizing Democratic New Dealers for all these years are doing the most stupid, irresponsible things, like getting us into $150 billion, which is where we'll be, budget deficits, and saying that if you cut taxes, you'll immediately have so much money thrown into the economy to reinstituting our industry that it's going to cause a boom, a springboard. Well, that's just stupid. That's just some professor or politician. Anybody living in the real life knows what they'll do. They'll buy more booze. They'll buy more perfume. They'll buy another something or other, you know, and just dissipate it one way or another. Or if whatever money they will save, they'll put in the money markets, which is too high of money, high-priced money to go into long-term loans, just overnight money for quick profit ventures. So the whole theory is wrong, and the theory of cutting and cutting your income so that you run these deficits, keep the interest rates up. Sure, you lower the inflation rate because people are being put through the meat grinder with all the bankruptcies. People not having actually enough to eat, really. And cutting out food stamps.
Social.
Really riding on the backs of the poor people. I mean, you know, and to think these are the people that we're going to get the government off your backs. Sure, they're getting off the rich backs. So it's just...
It's depressing.
A sorry state.
It's just depressing.
It's depressing.
We work with, I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat. Really, Republicans and Senate are the same thing.
They are.
And to elect an actor who really had... he had a lot of emotional reactions to things. But he doesn't know anything. He's got to ask people. Now he's let go of the best man in his cabinet, whom we oppose violently. But compared to what, he turned out to be the most moderate in the whole country.
And a friend of Israel.
Yes, yes. Pretty hard for those guys. But you see, that's one of the things that tripped him up. Begin pulled the rug out from under him. He said, let them go, let them go. They're going to go 24 miles and they're going to destroy the PLO, discredit and destroy the PLO, and then everything will be okay. But then, when thousands and thousands of innocent people were killed and hundreds of thousands made homeless, say, so there's your Mr. Haig for you. He's got you in trouble with the whole country.
Yeah.
Pulled the rug out from under. So, you know, it's a self-made casualty that's lost a friend through a double cross. You know.
Meyer, do you think there'll be any hope in the Democratic field? Do you think it's too early?
Well, it is, but I can say I've noticed this. You know, in 1972, I was chairman here for Muskie, and it looked like we had a sure thing. I mean, all the party notables, you name them, all the leaders. And at the beginning of this stage of the campaign, all the leaders were coming up there. You know, the fellows would say, Mondale's a guy who's tripping me off. But the people don't see it that way. Mm-hmm. And the party can't be running too long. I'm hearing from Noe Blyer, who's a good friend of the Kennedy. Struck with us, really. At lunch with him, he comes back in the summer from Florida. Strong Reagan man, Republican. He was bitter about Reagan. Well, I said, who do you think? He said, well, of course, Kennedy. He said, he's the guy with the other ideas. Of course, Kennedy. I mean, Kennedy was anathema to him. Last night, or Sunday at the country club, there's a golf pro there who is cut above intelligence, that fine, you know, a jock. And he was having dinner, and I stopped by and said, and he said, how does the political picture look? He always tries to. Not interesting. He said, who do you think it's going to be? And I said, well, who do you think it's going to be? That's more important than
me.
He said, oh, Kennedy. I said, rather than Mondale. Oh, yeah, Kennedy saying the things. This is a Southern Republican. Southern, you know. This is Kennedy saying the things people want to hear. Not nuclear, but won't do this on the backs of the poor. So, you know, you might say that the way Kennedy's holding up, it looks like that speech he made at the convention in 80, it's not the swan song of the last campaign. It looks like it was the beginning of a new... He got enough political capital out of that he's kind of carrying through now. His speech at the mini-convention was very well received. And
he was the one.
But it's an amazing thing to me. Because I was for Kennedy against Carter. I started the Kennedy campaign here. And... we lost that the day Iran started. Kennedy made a mistake. He said, how was he doing in this country anyway? You know. That finished it. And a lot of other reasons. You talk about the Shah of Iran.
Oh, okay.
What was he doing here? why were we so close to the shot? In the event he turned out to be right, because if he hadn't been here, they could have taken those hostages. Took the shot. But we were out of that fight before we knew.
Mr. Rockdale's been a little disappointing, hasn't he?
Well, I, you know, having been so close with Humphrey,
yes.
And Mondale was his protege. And Mondale, first job he ever had was head of ADA Students for America. He had a paid job working out of our office while he was in college. So that was his start in politics. But somehow, and he's a good guy, but somehow he's perceived as, by some people, not being strong enough, positive enough, by some people as being tired by the Carter brush. And I don't know, I would have thought in the beginning that, as the pros did, that Mondale would probably be the guy. But now, what do you think?
I'm disappointed in him. I was disappointed at the convention. These men get political power and they get frightened. They're afraid to assert themselves.
Well, what do you
think? Well, I don't perceive him as being strong.
No. It's surprising how uniform that...
It's his fault. Kennedy, I love the Kennedys. You know, I wrote in Robert Kennedy's name. Do you really think that Edward Kennedy beat Chapman Cunningham?
Well, it gets more and more in the past, you know.
Yeah, it's going
and there are two things
away.
About it. Number one, there's a hell of a lot of voters that don't even remember it. And the second thing is that he's gone through purgatory.
Brilliant speaker.
He suffered the breakdown.
Brilliant speaker.
Yes, you know, going through that with Joan last, side by side, and people feel that he got such a hammering. Things with Roger Mudd on the air, and Reader's Digest, insurance, just everything that could be written. I mean, how many times can you kill a dead horse?
I was disappointed in Gary Hart.
Well, I don't think there's anything to be disappointed about.
He was very mild.
Well, Gary Hart is really running for president.
Oh.
You know, they're going...
Yeah.
Well, yes. You know, he's in the second. If lightning strikes, you know. But
Mondale should get some advice. He should come out real strong and decisive.
Well, he made what was considered a very good speech at the Hague Convention. And he's still in the running. But I don't think he'll ever catch up to Kennedy now. Although it's just so early, it bores me, you know, that people, that 2.5 years, that's too much of it. But it's just an amazing thing to me, the way Kennedy's come along. And,
his determination.
Yeah, that's right.
Incredible.
Yes.
He just kept putting, and you know, I was with him on many occasions when it looked so bad. Things were so bad.
You like him?
Yes, my personal opinion. Yes. Something happened. A number of us were, you know, I was finance committee working for him, were invited back from time to time. It was January or February. We were at his house Sunday afternoon. Really to organize a pack and also to help clear up his debt and to raise some money for his senatorial. Nothing to do with presidents. I said there's, you know, I'd been through the SALT thing, very much involved in it. And something about it, something about the politics of it. And I said, tell me there's one issue which is almost unanimous opinion in the electorate, and that's on SALT too. I said, people are against nuclear armaments. And so my friend Miles Rubin said, hey, Mickey, he said, it may be unanimous to you. I said, well, I said, the polls show 79%, and in politics, that's unanimous. You know? only by chance, really not because of my advice, the way things developed. Kennedy did pick up an issue, you see. And his assistant reminded me the other day of that incident. So that was in February last year. Because the polls we were taking during SALT II showed that kind of conviction on the part of the electorate. I knew that that was there. And of course, he sensed it. Vermont started the town meetings and hundreds of thousands.
Powerful.
You're smart enough to do the path to the
public. Powerful.
We're trying to organize something now to make air lasers for the prominent Catholic Republic. So, if not partisan.
I think the most encouraging thing I've seen in weeks was a commercial put out by the Republican National Committee the other night. The little postman pleading, he's delivering Medicare or something, it's going to be so much better. And then he says, and give the guy a chance from the Republican. Give him a chance. Which is answering that people aren't giving him much of a chance. I was dumbfounded. Really, you know, appealing to them, being nicer to President Reagan.
Poor Reagan.
Wasn't that amazing? I liked it.
I think there are a lot of people who went Republican for the first time are going to go back. A lot of people who went for Reagan are going to go back.
About labor. A lot of the labor voted for.
Sure, the blue collar.
Blue collar.
The leadership came out for the Democratic candidate.
The rank and file.
But the rank and file did not. Yeah. They did not, but
be very mean.
But they are.
They're going to turn. They can't bear it.
They feel it in their pockets.
Mm-hmm. They're starving.
They're hurt very badly.
Literally.
Yes, their unemployment is running out, and they've never taken Social Security.
The White House doesn't care.
Gee, I had an hour talk with Alan Meltzer. Party Saturday night. You know Alan? Well, Alan Meltzer is really an outstanding academic in this town right now. Advisor to the president. He's a very prominent Friedmanite, monetarist, and cut back taxes. He's against restoring.
He have to say.
He's defending Reagan all the way through.
There are those.
But that's his thing. Defending Thatcher. Well, Thatcher is, he's been an advisor to Thatcher. He's been over there advising her. I said, sure, you know, it's a strange thing. You get in a war and you get popular, like Begin. On the other hand, yeah, Begin, Thatcher. On the other hand, the guy in Argentina was kicked out of office. Which means you get in the war, but you got to be a winner.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the loser gets
knocked out of office,
right.
And the winner goes up in the polls. It's a pitiful thing.
Pitiful.
And in the long run, of course, you're saying that she probably could have done it another way. They're just going to start paying the bills. Of course, we'd rather that they would win than the Argentines.
Yeah.
But we'd rather they diverted the war off.
Yeah.
Now, you know, historians have start writing about, after all, was this overkill necessary? Did the PLO turn out to be that strong? Because so much force was necessary with all these losses. But boy, I never have had a tougher time in my public, in my life, public affairs, than I'm getting in the Jewish community. Because everybody swept along now with the war fever and what. And of course they misrepresent what I say. They say Berger's against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I love Israel.
How about the young?
I almost go broke supporting Israel.
young man that came out the other day opposing him. Felt like you do. And no, Nicholas Lane answered it.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, yeah, oh. Oh, you're talking about Rabbi Firestone? No, or Nathan Firestone?
A young rabbi. Pittsburgh came out speaking during
the Nicholas Lane is a stooge for the establishment. You know, the Halpern came in to that's getting to be Jews and Palestinian urge mutual Israel PLO recognition. That was Klutznik. This is the group that I belong to. I was supposed to have been in Paris last week.
It's very tragic.
Yeah, but we called it off on account of PLO war. Here is Arafat's acceptance of that. Here's Javits. Time to pull together. Saying the policy the way it began is the wrong move.
Well, this was
thank you
wonderful.
Again.
We don't want to take more time. We have a picture of you that's in your ADA magazine. Do you have anything? Do you have that picture?
Yeah.
Would you like
Oh, you mean the original of it?
Just the glossy.
The glossy? Yeah, I think so.
Enclose that in here.
Because this, we could use, this one belongs to the ADA. I think they want it back.
Well, you can have it.
This is a wonderful picture.
You can have it. It'll help you.
Yeah.
We want a picture in the archives.
Well, we'll have to instead of a glossy?
Yes. Sure.
Very well. We'll keep that.
They gave us this and said they wanted it back or something.
Well, I'll get them one.
Do you have anything else you would like to give us to put in your archive?
Well, I have lots and lots of pictures with presidents. And,
oh, we would really like
that. We'd love if you could spare any, though. This won't get back. It'll be in the files. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that? Would you see what you could spare and perhaps mail it to us?
You ought to come over and see our new apartment. We're in 5,000.
Oh, are you?
Yeah,
we love it.
Oh, we sure do.
It's
beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. Yeah. Do you have a card or a...
I'll give you Marion Cabot, MarionKabet.
What's your husband?
He's pretty good. He's getting old, but he's pretty well.
Who isn't?
He had a terrible cold for a month. That awful whooping thing. MarionKabet. KABET. 230 North Grade. That's 13. Apartment 802. If it's inconvenient for you, I'll come over and pick it up, whatever you want.
Well, I would be happy to have you come over, but they're all hanging on the wall there.
Would you have one or two copy points?
Sure.
It'd be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Use your judgment. Deeply appreciate this.